Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Ahoy morning. There.
Ahoy there, Captain.
Ahoy there, landlubber.
That was a bit more fisherman, wasn't it? Than we weren't on a fishing trawler.
No, we weren't. We missed last week because me and Steve were cruising.
People have often wondered, but yeah, we were cruising.
We are cruisers, the pair of us.
We were cruising across the Atlantic Sea, weren't we?
Yes, we were. We were from New York City to Southampton.
It is weird that it, yeah, I know,
feels the wrong way around that.
No, it does.
Southampton.
It's the right way around. No, you don't want to be going that way. That's the Titanic route, isn't it? The other way. So.
Well, yes, which they mentioned a lot, Steve.
They did too many times.
I would say if I was on an aeroplane and they kept talking about some sort of air disaster, I'd start to get a bit nervous.
I think they only mentioned it so they could explain their part in it. You know what I mean? Because it was a Cunard ship, wasn't it? We were on.
Yeah. So you tell us. You know a bit.
Well,
more
the Titanic
about it than I
is a White Star Line ship, and when the Titanic sank, the first boat that came to their rescue was the Carpathia, which was a Cunard boat. So I think it was all they mentioned.
A bit showing off,
as if to go. And then when we got there, well, it already sank, but we tried our best. You know what I mean? So
right,
I think it was. Well, I don't know. I mean, you've got to honour it, haven't you? It's the most famous ship of all time, isn't it? Possibly.
Yeah. So, of course.
And there it was. We went over the top of it, didn't we? Around just north of it.
You got up bright and early that morning, didn't you, to pay respects?
I had two early mornings. One to cross over the Titanic, because my son's obsessed, and I thought, oh, well, I'll get it. The captain will say something. Didn't bother. He didn't. And then the other morning, I got up for summer solstice. I got up I thought, oh, we'll get up at 5 o'clock. It was already light, because we're in the middle of the sea. I don't know if it's
middle
different
of the
timings.
Sea.
I don't know. I don't know where we were.
Very odd. I don't know if any of you have done a cruise or whatever, but this is a very different sort of cruise, isn't it? Where like my image of cruising is, you know, you stop off in Athens or whatever.
I think like mine, your image of cruising is formed solely by Jay McDonald. It looks like
a
laugh. There's some sing songs. You've got a lovely room, and you get stopped at port. You go and get some little things and presents for your family. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? But this was a different thing, wasn't it? Because this is a crossing, isn't it, really?
So we flew to New York and then got the cruise back to Southampton. And I was working on the ship because that was my job for the week. It was a musical theatre cruise. It was Olivier's at Sea, London Theatre, whatever, and lots of...
I thought that was strange that it was Olivier's, just because... I know that that's the awards title, but it's just that when I think... And there was busts of him everywhere. When I think of Olivier, I don't think of a song and dance man. Do you?
It's no. It's
I've never
synonymous
seen
him
going, with it. One singular sensation. I've never seen it.
I know what you mean when it comes to Larry. It is weird because even when I hosted the Olivier's for those 5 years, the only things they show are a big song from one of the musicals. But at the same time, would you want to watch a monologue or a duologue?
If it was
Olivier, Manford. Maybe. But an out-of-context 5-minute monologue.
I just think they've chosen the wrong man. They should have been called the Tony Newley Awards or something. I don't know.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. But we're here now.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. Do you think we could have maybe done the show from the ship, Steve, last week?
Well, I mean, there was Wi-Fi, wasn't there? There wasn't any phone signal.
Satellite Wi-Fi.
It came and went, didn't it? It was.
It was a bit in and out.
It was there sometimes, but I'm not sure we could have done the show. I mean, there was. I was very busy pottering around.
Well, I was poorly, wasn't I, for a couple of days?
You had a couple of days, where you were in bed.
I'd eaten something in New York and got a bit of food poisoning, so that was not good. I couldn't be more than two doors away from a loo.
Yeah, I got tired of that emoji. I'll level with you.
The little poo emoji.
Yeah.
You're like, where are you? Just sent that emoji.
Just sent that little emoji.
I used every toilet on the ship, I think.
You knew where. I saw somebody once. I said, do you know where they're in? You went, yes. If you go third deck, second on the right, you knew where they all were. You were like the sort of.
Yeah. Every deck was the poop deck. That's how bad it was.
That's how it became, three days.
And towards the end of the week, I got myself a little cold as well. So every sneeze was a gamble. yeah. for at least 2 days. Yeah. That was not fun.
It was fun times. Fun times.
So yeah, that wasn't fun to be had. But, and then poor Steve just had to wander around. And also, I think I forget sometimes with you, Steve, that not in a bad way, just because you've been on telly for so many years, but and we've been out and about and people recognise you for various shows, whether it's Benidorm, whether it's Phoenix Nights or whatever it is. But did you feel like it was definitely a more concentrated amount of people who watch Modern Blanc and who were in your remit on that ship?
Yeah, and it was weird because most of them were Americans. So I didn't know there was a lot of them. Was quite so big.
We've seen you on Acorn TV.
Yeah, but then it got to the point where people go, sorry, we know your face. What show is it from?
We love Madame Blanc.
I was going, well, I don't think Phoenix Nights has been on American telly. So I'll have a gamble that it's Madame Blanc. Oh my God, we thought it was you, but we looked at the program and you're not doing anything. And I was like, yeah, I probably should have been. I should have done a 45
minute Q&A. I know. Well, the amount of selfies you had to do.
Yeah.
You may as well have been working that.
Well, some of the Q&As I saw, I think, you know, I could have.
Yeah, totally. There was a fella doing something about set design. There was somebody else doing something about, what was it, celery or something?
I watched watercress. Now, that was actually watercress. Really good. I watched a thing about the journey of watercress generally through the working classes. And it ended up being the watercress line, which is the little train line that I used to go on with my son. So Hampshire.
Full circle. But if you've never been on anything, this was a Cunard cruise. This is not an advert for it, by the way. We're pretty honest about it. We definitely had a couple of days where we were like, we are not cruisers.
No.
This is not for us.
Lovely. The boat was lovely, but I just like
it. Oh, it's beautiful.
I think most people got on going, food. I'm on the Queen Mary II. What a beautiful boat. And it was, and I got that. But I think we were like, when do we get off and have a little look around? We knew that wasn't the possibility, but...
Yeah, there was none of that. But the food was lovely.
Well, we had a special restaurant, didn't we?
That's we were in the Queen's Grill, where we were very posh. Yeah. And then the buffet, that all-you-can-eat buffet.
Buffet was very good. Then we went to the other restaurant, wasn't as good. And I remember we ordered the food. And then somebody said, Kate, the girl we met from the V&A, said... you know, you order your food from this guy and then there's another guy somewhere and he's the one who takes like your lager and your drinks. And I was like, that man's called a sommelier where we normally eat.
Yeah, we got spoiled, didn't we? We were a bit spoiled by the end of it. But it didn't stop us getting down to the midnight feast.
And the cream tea at 11 o'clock. I was there for the buffet. I was a normal guy during the day, but come 7 o'clock when my suit was on, I don't want to know you people.
By the time we got
and
to Southampton.
Back to normal again, 11 o'clock.
They were like rolling us off the ship. I don't think I've ever eaten as much food in my life.
No, it was the food was good. Everyone was lovely, wasn't they?
The staff are amazing.
Very,
they
very
do an incredibly tough job. And the theatre, I did a show in the theatre a couple of nights. That was a lot of fun. Beautiful theatre and bars and stuff like that. So yeah, we had a fun week. So we're sorry we missed the show last week, but it was. It can't be helped, but I'd love to know. In fact, I'd love to know from if you're listening and you've ever done a cruise or you've ever fancied it or not fancied it, you've got good stories, bad stories. I'd love to hear from you now that we've done it on what your take on it is. Because
tips and everything. We don't know anything, do we? We've only been on one.
Yeah, and it feels like, up to now, let's be honest, it feels like cruises are sort of for old people. And the demographic was probably, I'd say, average age 70, something like that. But
it was, I think when I looked and it was 66 was the average age. But then there was a couple of 5-year-olds on board, so they would have brought it right down.
Tracking it down, yeah, exactly. But I'd love to hear from you, from your experiences, just for future reference. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Send me an email or get in touch on the socials. I think one of my favourite moments of the week was sitting in a hot tub with you, Steve, looking out over the Atlantic. But obviously shared hot tub because we were with other people, weren't we?
I think we started a conversation about, oh, we've never been on this cruise before, and there was a woman.
Yeah, there was a couple, weren't they, who loved it, and they were like, we do it all the time. This is the best cruise in the world.
Preston, I think, weren't they, somewhere.
And then there was another woman.
California, and there was another woman who was, she was from weirdly near me, I think. When she said, the Royal Caribbean's much nicer than these boats. the other couple said, like, oh, they have like 6,000 people on, but this is only 2.5. You don't notice it because the boat's so big. And these hot tubs They're four times the size of this. They have bumper cars on the roof. That's my favourite bit. They have bumper cars.
It was some amazing stuff.
That doesn't seem right, does it? If you hit somebody, I wouldn't want to go on a bumper flying into the sea.
Didn't you say there was a thing where you could do that, like, skydiving thing?
Oh, there was something, yeah.
Something like that. Again, another activity I do not want to do on a boat.
Not on a boat. No. On the Royal Caribbean, they chew the food up for you and then they blow it in your mouth with a little cowboy syringe. It just sounded so much better, didn't it?
Everything.
But it can't be. I mean, I've spoken to a couple of people since and they all say Royal Caribbean are, you know, good. But, I mean, I felt like she was a salesperson or something.
She was from somewhere else. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I'm doing some work with P&O as well, some comedy stuff for them. And I think they are trying to start, you know, they're aiming at a younger crowd. In fact, our producer, Pete, put your mic up, Pete. You might not, I don't think you've met Pete yet. Here he is.
You're right.
Pete has just been on a cruise as well. You've been cruising, haven't you, Pete?
I have. I've been on a Virgin Voyages. It was wonderful.
Stop doing a posh radio voice. Do your normal voice.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
What was that one like? What was your Virgin cruise like?
It was amazing. Like, from start to finish, it was just one big party. We went around Greece. It was, yeah, it was lovely.
Mykonos,
Santorini, Rhodes.
Oh, sounds nice. Oh,
and the food was amazing, so, yeah.
Did you also have a library like what we had?
A library?
Yeah, there was a library on our one.
And an art gallery.
We had a show called Lola's Library, which was interesting.
That doesn't sound like
where's she getting the books from?
don't open those pages. Yeah, I don't think that sounds like our sort of cruise, Steve.
Well, I don't know. Nothing ventured.
Let's see what happens. Did you have dodgems on yours, Pete?
No dodgems, but we did have an inflatable giant octopus.
Okay.
All right, well. Say then.
Crikey. Well, we all know.
Thank God he's an octopus.
We all know about the octopus, don't we?
Yeah,
on,
we know.
With
one
your best
of those.
Facts. Stick around for more facts later on, guys. Well, Pete, that does sound like a very different cruise than what we went on. But stick around this morning. We are going to be playing Hit Me With Your Best Facts later on. We've got some questions for Steve.
Questions for Steve.
It is questions for Steve, and we've got quite a few this morning, actually. So we've got this one from Linda, who says, Jason and Steve, I've been away since before Christmas, and I'm catching up with the TV that I've missed. One of the catch-ups is the excellent Madame Blanc Mystery, starring none other than Steve himself. My question, observational, probably comes from watching the last series back-to-back.
Right, okay. That's series three was the last series.
Anytime Jean and Dom sit down to eat, usually in a bar, before the food is served or just as it arrives and is put on the table, Karen inevitably rings Jean, asking her and Dom to meet him to assist in finding out who done it that week. Yeah. Rather than saying, hang on, mate, we're just having some grub, Jean and Dom leave immediately, food untouched. I think in one episode, Dom picks up his knife and fork only to have to put it down again, pulling a, oh no, I'm missing out on food again face.
I think there is an episode when I haven't eaten all day, and that is part of the story that I keep going, oh, I haven't had any breakfast and keep getting dragged away. So that is actually an episode, but yeah, go on.
Well, Linda has the question because she says, I'm aware that food and continuity can be a bit of a horror. Was it something Steve noticed at the time? Happens a lot. Cheers, Jace. Thanks for making us smile. You and Steve are a right hoot.
Oh, lovely.
Thanks Linda.
What
do you think?
One of those instances, there was a plot line about me not eating all day because I'd been just come back from the airport and all that. So that is one of them. But also, I will say this. Food that is on set is normally there on that plate for about 2.5 hours.
Shooting around it.
And I also say this. It's not cooked by the caterers. It's cooked by the art department. So it's a prop, essentially. It's the same as having a book or a handbag on set.
Yeah.
You know, they try their best, but they will go, don't eat the peas. Yeah. We've only got them peas. So,
or somebody comes in with like a bucket and renews your peas or renews your stew
You know, they haven't got a kitchen. We're on set somewhere. So they're just going, they might have a microwave, so they might be able to warm it up a bit, but more often than not, there isn't. You know, and yeah, you know, it could be after lunch, could be before lunch. And in terms of continuity, even if you ate that sandwich exactly as you were meant to, when they get in the edit, they might cut a couple of lines out and it'll just look weird after the sandwich has disappeared. So you're saving yourself and the editor a job.
Well, you rarely, if you watch any TV show, especially like the soaps or anything, anyone sat around eating dinner, most of the time people are just pushing food around the plate.
You've got to. You're waiting for your line. Bring it up to your mouth just before your line. What you said?
Yeah.
And then just bring it back down again. Then start cutting it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember on Benidorm, there's a lot of fried breakfast we had to eat, and it would be like 5 in the morning we'd be starting. We'd be like, oh God, I'm not ready for this. And again, it's not cooked by caterers. It's cooked by the art department with no kitchen.
I did an advert a while back for Sky, a Christmas advert for Sky, and it was for Elf, when Elf was coming onto Sky at Christmas time. And one of the things they wanted to do was the spaghetti with all the maple syrup and the sweets and stuff happens in Elf. Yeah. So, and then they wanted me to take a massive mouthful and then do the line or whatever to the camera. And I reckon I had to do that, have that mouthful in my mouth about 20, 25 times.
Mm.
And
Did you go for it the first time, or did you? I went for it
as in like the chewing of it, but then there's just a bucket nearby that you have to just spit it out, and that's the worst thing about it. But any of those adverts where you see people like Cadbury's Dairy Milk, or you know, if it's a milkshake or something that looks yummy, that actor or actress will literally be spitting it out the second the second the camera finishes. So very odd. Got ourselves another question for Steve, this time from Jane, who says, hi guys, love the show, listen to the podcast every week. You can of course download the podcast in all the places that you get podcasts. There's millions of them. She doesn't say that, I've just added that. She says, my question comes after hearing you mention Race Across the World on the show the other week. Would you be able to complete the Race Across the World together, or would you drive each other crazy? Which countries would you like to race through? Well, I think we'd be all right, to be honest.
I think we did all right on the cruise, and there was not much to keep us occupied. I mean, you had a few shows to do, so you were busy. But I think
each other's head in, did we?
We stayed sane. I think the last series was the best route they've ever done. That was a great one. It was all through, sort of, but ended in Bali, and it started at the top there. It was great. I think that last series was the best race. The one before was, they went across, was it Canada?
Canada, yeah.
That wasn't, I wouldn't, no, you know, race across the world, and it's just one country, I'd be a little bit, oh God, typical.
Yeah.
Got picked this year. But I thought the last one was brilliant, route and everything.
Oh, it's a great show. So I spoke to them about doing the celebrity version a while back when the celebrity one was coming on. I thought, I wouldn't mind doing that. So I actually got in touch with them and said, look, me and Steve are up for this. I threw your name in there as well, Steve. I said, me and Steve Edge are up for this. And they got back to me and said, we want somebody with a family member. And I said, nah, there's not one family member
I'm just going through, I'm just mentally going through your, no, I wouldn't.
Well, go through my family. Who would I pick?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, your Uncle Gary would be
one of my brothers would be all right. My brother Stephen or Colin, Niall, they'd be a good laugh. My sister Danielle is too, she's too much, she's just well kept, you know what I mean?
With a lot of the other ones.
She likes nice things, you know.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of stuff that wouldn't be able to put on air, I think, with
game over. I mean, there was moments in the week that, because some of the other acts had brought their mum onto the cruise.
They seemed to get on all right, didn't they?
Yeah, where I thought, actually, I could have brought my mum to this.
Yeah,
I was of the impression that I might have to just keep my mum entertained for the full 10 days, and that's what sort of put me off by her, as lovely as she is. But actually, she would have been all right. So I'm not sure about that. My dad, I think, would be all right doing Race Across the World. But again, he's not much of a traveller, so he wouldn't have any knowledge in that respect of like...
Yeah.
And he's not good at talking to strangers and stuff. My mum, on the other hand, she loves a stranger.
Yeah, but that might slow you down. She's having a chat with somebody in the village.
Oh, she's a nightmare.
Somewhere.
I went to Costco with her the other month, and I left her in the queue. I said, I'm just going to pop to the loo. When I got back, I was gone 8 minutes, Steve. When I got back, a woman was chatting to her, and she was crying. She was just telling her a story.
The woman was crying.
The woman was crying. No, right. This woman was crying because my mum had obviously asked her a couple, maybe four questions, and on the fourth one, she just got to the nub of what was breaking this woman's life in two.
Yeah,
and this woman was going, as I got back, she was going, and I realised that was it. He never felt the way about me as I felt about him. I thought, how have you got here in 8 minutes?
Just go, look at the size of this cottage pie. Oh, what's happened?
I don't know how she does it. But yeah, so we could have been maybe next series they might open it up a bit and let me and Steve do a bit of a race across the world. I think we'd be good at it.
I think we'd be all right.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Last week when, me and Steve were flying, we were flown. By Cunard over to New York. We had a couple of days in New York City.
Yeah, went to the Ghostbusters Firehouse. Did that
Firehouse,
for
yeah.
Yeah, did that. Yeah. You went to the M&M shop.
M&M
didn't
store.
Have the M&Ms you wanted. Furious.
It didn't. What was that about?
I don't know. Could have gone from London.
Like, I know, my son was like, can you get me all the different flavours of M&Ms that they do? I was like, yeah. Went in, chocolate flavour, peanut flavour. That was it. No, I was like, where's the chocolate brownie flavour? Where's the popcorn flavour?
Could you lower your voice, sir, please?
A lot of that going on.
Lots of that, wasn't there?
A lot of that. I went into that, what was that place called? Junior's in Times Square. Yeah. I don't know if I told you this. I don't know where you were. I think you popped back to the hotel or whatever. And it was like midnight or 1 o'clock or something. We were coming back from a bar and we were starving. So I said, right, well, I'll go and find us to eat. Yeah, remember that night?
Yeah.
And when I got there, I said, oh, table for two, please. And she went, and where is the person you're eating with? And I said, oh, he's just popped back to the hotel. He's going to come back in a second. She said, okay, well, when he's here, I will seat you both. And I was like, oh, it's okay. He won't mind if I sit down first. No, sir, that's the policy here at Juniors. I was like, oh, right. Well, I wouldn't mind sitting down if that's all right. You know, it'll be the same thing. When your friend is here, you know, they do that really like.
Well, they did it in the when we were queuing in the thing, and when there was two lanes, we're like, are we meant to be in this lane? She went, oh, I'm going as fast as I can, sir.
That's not the answer to my question.
No,
is this the right lane?
What was the thing she said in Juniors? Would you take a lemon?
Oh, yeah, she kept saying, yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? She had this really odd phrasing where instead of saying, would you like lemon and ice with your drink, she'd say,
yeah,
will you take a lemon, sir? I was like, where? What are you talking about?
Where? Well, it depends where it is, I mean.
We could take a lemon.
But if you answered that question, it sort of confused them. Oh, no, ice, please. I didn't ask you if you liked ice. I said, would you take a lemon?
We are.
Sorry, I don't know what you're asking me.
What did they say to people separated by an ocean or something, or a common language, or I can't remember what the phrase is, but I agree with it. Yeah. So this was the disaster that I wanted to tell you about. Yeah. Right? So we get on the flight and they've put us in business, by the way. So we're like, well, happy. And me and Steve are sat there, I put my stuff down but they've sat separately. So I say to the guy, do you mind if me and my friend sit together in the middle? Yeah, no problem, sir. So we go over, sit in the middle. I start unpacking my bits, you know, getting myself ready. And then I go to put my passport somewhere safe and cannot find it.
No.
Yeah. It's nowhere, is it, Steve? And I'm like,
no, it's nowhere. We're looking down the side of the chairs. The people, everyone's looking down the side of the chairs.
Five members of staff, three other passengers.
Yeah.
Ground staff have come on to help me look for this passport. And then the woman at Gatwick was...
She comes on, she starts talking when people start talking in letters... You know something's bad. They're going, it's a 357. We're going to have to execute the K-76. And you're like, oh, they're going to throw us off. I don't know what they're saying.
She basically said, I'm afraid you're not going to be able to fly, sir, because you haven't got your passport. I said, no, I've got my passport. It's on this aeroplane because I couldn't have got on it without a passport.
We literally went through the gate, 15 seconds earlier.
And it's in one of these seats here. It must have gone down a side or
whatever. No, it's a K-1476, I'm afraid, sir.
And I've got to be honest, she was itching to throw me off that flight, wasn't she?
Well, yeah. I started getting my bag on my shoulder, just like...
Oh, you were sat in your pyjamas with your eye mask on. What are you talking about?
I couldn't hear it because I had the earplugs in. But it sounded...
She was like, I've spoke to the captain and he says you're going to have to get off the flight. I walked back to the thing to to see
didn't
if
you
I
look
I dropped
at your
it.
Air tags and you could see your, things getting taken off.
Yeah, they'd taken my luggage off the flight. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get sued by Cunard here for not turning up to this gig. And oh my, it was absolute. And then amazingly, this woman, one of the stewardesses, she came over and she found it underneath like some mad gap that it had fallen and slid under.
Like a plastic sheet on the.
I would never have thought to have brought there.
But like we said, when the plane would have taken off, it would have slid out, wouldn't it?
It would have. You'd have been sat on the flight by yourself, like, oh, I recognise that. Oh, it was probably the worst moment that I've had for a long time. Also, because it gave everyone free rein to keep talking to me about it long after it had been found. Eight hours of people going, hey, you still got your passport,
buddy? Like, will you check a lemon? Will you lose that too? You like what I did there?
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
It was a long flight because of it. I just wonder, have you ever had a moment like that where you just think, oh my gosh, I've absolutely messed up here. I've lost something. I've turned up at the wrong place. Drop us an email, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. I'll tell you what you did a bit of, Stephen, on the flight, but you didn't do it fully.
What?
You raw dogged it a bit, I thought.
What's raw dogging?
You're doing a bit of raw dogging.
Just stop emphasising dogging. Raw, what's the... What? You're eating
the
second
the
word
raw
really
bit,
hard. I don't know, both of it. I mean, now you've said it together.
None of it's good. None of it's good. Yeah, you're a bit of a raw dogger, actually, from what I observed.
It's getting worse. What is it?
So, there's a new flight trend
that
is leaving people completely baffled. A woman has explained it. Where you go completely raw dog during your journey. The term raw dog...
Still not explained it.
..requires passengers. And I'll be honest with you, it is... I think it's mostly men, from what I can see. But it requires passengers to sit silently and do nothing during their whole time in the sky. All they do is watch the flight tracker of the flight that they're
on.
No,
I didn't do any of that.
You had a little watch of the flight.
I don't think it works on my screen. I was watching. I watched an episode of Frasier, the new one, two of them.
We obviously watched some of that.
Yeah, and then read a
but
bit.
But I was on the cruise. You were definitely raw dogging on the cruise because you were watching that app, that sea scanner.
Oh, that was. I just wanted to know how close we were to getting off.
Yeah. But the term raw dog requires passengers sit silently, do completely nothing during their time in the sky. That means no films, no music, snacks, or distraction once you're in the cabin. And it also includes no sleep. For one social media influencer, this is exactly what her mum does on every flight she takes. Sophie Cook wrote on her latest TikTok video, "My mum's beige flag is that she raw dogs every flight, no matter how long. This is her on a 9-hour flight. No iPad, no headphones, no book."
Well, I suppose it's like meditation, isn't it? You know,
people have quick to share their personal best, with some claiming to have done 11 hours.
Raw dogging
for 11 hours. But it's interesting she says it's her mum does it, because every other example that you see online of somebody raw dogging is a bloke.
Okay.
Every single time.
A bloke without kids as well. You can't raw dog it when you got kids.
You can't. Well, you can try.
Yeah, I don't think you get. You can try. I don't think you'd be able to do 11 hours raw dogging it.
Sorry, love. Do you mind sorting the kids out? I'm raw dogging over here.
I can't ask you. I'm raw dogging the hell out of this plane, mate.
I'm mid raw dogging. But I don't fully believe the people doing it. To be honest,
do you think they've got one earbud in? The one that's facing away and they listen to a podcast.
Something's not quite right.
It's, you know, meditative, contemplative. It's a good thing, isn't it? I suppose.
Also, all the phrases they use in this being so weird. So, it's known as raw dogging or sometimes barebacking flights.
I think someone's having a laugh here.
Someone's messing about here. Someone says, oh, TikTok showing himself barebacking. I don't think you are.
No.
In one clip, he follows his, he challenges.
What's space docking?
Space docking. And it all sounds wrong. Is someone going to match my freak 10 hours of nothing going on?
That's the mum, is it?
The mum's 9 hours just literally watching the flight. I can sort of see it in a way.
Is
of
it
like just...
downward dog? Is that where the, you know, because like, that's like yoga and it's like a, you know, is it that? Is that why it's called dogging?
Oh, maybe it's got an
trying to get,
like
but the raw thing just sounds like, doesn't it?
Yeah. This guy's put, just road dogged a flight from Orlando to LA. No water, no snacks, no music or entertainment.
Oh, hang on,
no
you can't eat or drink either.
No snacks, nothing.
Nothing.
Seat fully upright, the power of the mind.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to start doing this.
The power of the mind has no limits. What is going on? Just road dogged a 7-hour flight, new personal best. No headphones, no movie, no water, nothing. Incredible. The power of the mind knows no bounds.
Why what can have on water? I'm gonna start doing it. When next time I'm on a flight, like a short one, I might raw dog it all the way there. No
just
water.
Raw dog it.
You can't speak to anybody either, I'd imagine.
I guess there's nothing. The power of your mind knows no bounds. So would love to know it if you've ever raw dogged or barebacked. No, in fact, just raw dogged. Let's stick with that. I don't want to know about the other one. No, email. No. Well, you know what? See if it gets to the filter. If it gets to the filter, send it over. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford.
Where real music matters.
It's time for some of this.
Hit me with your best fact.
Woo!
Fire away!
Come on. It's that time again where you send us your best facts, and hopefully if you wow us and you're the facts of the week, we will send you an Absolute Radio mug. Steve, what are you looking for in a fact?
We're looking for a fact that tantalises us and makes us want to Google it, give us half the facts and, you know, get us sort of rabid with excitement. That's what we're after. I mean, a cruise fact would be great, wouldn't it? Oh, that was interesting. Ooh. The captain used to do a fact every day. Did you listen to
that? He did, actually, yeah. Yeah. What was your favourite one?
The origins of the phrase, put a sock in it and bite the bullet and show a leg, a phrase which I've never heard. Shake a leg, but never show a leg. But anyway, yeah, it was interesting. You know, if somebody's going to submit, then they might win because they are.
We love a fact.
They are good.
We love a fact. We're going to crack on with some of yours now. Lee Patterson starts us off with, there is a fish in South Asia that can climb a tree.
I'm in already. So what?
Yes. What? How's that happened?
Isn't there a phrase, if you judge a fish by the ability to climb trees, then you know, isn't there like a phrase, like a philosophical phrase, and there's one that can? So somebody go, well, if you judge a fish by the way he climbs a tree, and you go, what, like that one? And they go, wow!
Yeah, that is mad.
What's he climbing? Is there something up the tree he wants to get, like, you know, like, I don't know, fish food?
Well, I guess the fish must be, the tree's in the water. I don't think, like, if you're in the middle of the forest, and it did it.
Yeah, not getting out. Putting a dry robe on.
No. Einstein, apparently, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. Well, not this one.
Not this one, my friend. Dry robe on, flask of tea in his hand. Oi, oi.
Smashing it. What are you doing down there, losers?
Yeah.
Julie Hood tells us that all labels on fruit are edible.
Oh, I didn't know that, really.
I guess it makes sense, doesn't it?
Some of them feel very plasticky, though, don't they? They're not all papery. All labels.
All labels.
I feel like it's only on the skin of edible skinned fruits, like the one on a lemon.
Yeah, or a banana.
That one. Yeah, the banana. If you don't eat the skin, they're not going to waste extra money going, well, nobody's going to eat that, are they? Although there probably is a weirdo somewhere who only eats banana skins.
So you're all right if you eat a fruit sticker, is what she's saying.
Fine, yeah. The Crunch Bunch.
Good to know. And Dallas says, did you know it takes Amazon only 54 seconds to make $1 million in sales?
Wow.
That is absolutely mad.
Madness, isn't it?
I mean, most of that is coming out of this house as well, I think.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. $1 million a minute.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the problem, isn't it?
No wonder the high street's dying.
I know, but...
Well, what can you do? It comes to your door, innit? I know. No, I agree. Look, I'm as big a hypocrite as the next man. I'm like, save the high street. Yeah. Not me, though.
No, I sometimes try. Like, I remember fridge bulb or something went, and I went, oh, God, that... Is that an electrical hardware shop? I'll go that electrical hardware.
That's
weird.
You got
a fridge
weird.
Bulb for a thing, and they go... Oh, I don't sell them. And you go, right, go on Amazon, 49p, bang, see you tomorrow. That's
that is so weird. My example of using a shop recently was also a little DIY shop.
It is, though.
In Hazel Grove there. And I went, and again, I went in and I said, I was looking for whatever it was. And he said, I can have it by tomorrow. I thought, well, Yeah, then I've got, I've still got to drive out, haven't I? Like, I can have it by tomorrow at my house.
Yeah, I know. And you're probably getting it from the same place as me. Who's your supplier? Jeff Bezos.
But this is the problem, because we want everything, don't we? We want a nice high street, but we also want the convenience of things being delivered. But have you noticed?
It's all coffee shops, isn't it? Because they can't deliver that.
Yeah.
It's all coffee shops and charity shops.
Charity shop, vape shops, yeah.
Yeah.
But have you noticed that things are going full circle? Like, Amazon have started making actual shops made out of bricks and mortar where people go and shop. And adverts on like Prime and stuff and YouTube are now, like, you can't fast forward them. You've got to watch them. That's all gone full circle. They tricked us. They came in, they destroyed a whole industry, and then they went, hey, I'll tell you what's a better idea. How it was.
Yeah, but they also went, you're a Prime member, you've got special dispensation, you're special, you're a very special person. Right, watch these adverts. That's just started, I think, in the last couple of weeks. Hang on, why am I watching adverts? I've got Amazon Prime. Shh, watch the adverts. Shut up. I'm in charge here. Bezos here. Keep it shut. Right? You heard.
Ed has sent us one. Ed says, when the US were testing the first jet planes, they dressed the pilots up in a gorilla mask, top hat and cigar, so any other pilots that saw it wouldn't be believed.
That's mad, isn't it?
That is mad.
Guess what? Really fast, just flew past really fast. What was it? It was a gorilla in a top hat. All right, mate, he's behind the source. Yeah. You shouldn't be behind not the wheel of a plane, whatever it is, the cockpit of a plane.
And they were smoking cigars. Right. Yeah. Lock him up.
You think they'd be going so fast they wouldn't see that, though?
Yeah. Wow, that's mad, isn't it? But also, in a way, it sort of shows you that, you know, when people talk about UFOs and things like that, like, that could just be somebody testing the next level of
technology. That was the first ones, wasn't it? They dressed them up as gorillas.
Yeah.
Now they might go, put a big alien head on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then somebody's gone, I saw him, he came in the kitchen with his big alien head, and you're like,
he
forgot to take it off when he come home.
Jamie sent us one, says, Jamie, the world's largest football stadium is in North Korea. The Rungrado 1st of May Stadium. And guess how many it seats, Steve?
200,000?
That's exactly how much it is.
All right, that is big, though, isn't it?
Oh, you really took the wind out of my sails.
Sorry.
I wanted to go, no!
Not more!
200,000! But you actually got the exact amount.
Oh, it was 200. Well, they said they rounded it up. That's what I did. I thought, you know,
over twice the size of Wembley Stadium. Massive, wow.
Hasn't Wembley Stadium got the most toilets at any stadium in the world? Wasn't that a fact a couple of weeks ago?
We had that, yeah.
So it's got more than that stadium in North Korea, despite the fact that there's twice as many people at the one in North Korea.
Also, who's to believe that it's not just him?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Michael Palin go to North Korea, and he never went to that football stadium, as far as I can remember. He just made it up. He got his football, and do you know what else we got? Got a football stadium. It's like twice as big as Wembley, like 200,000. It's just making stuff up.
It does sound like
got a fish to climb up the tree. That was just making stuff up.
Does sounds like Kim Jong Un's gone. How big's Wembley? Okay, ours is twice.
Ours is twice as big as that. Yeah, ours is. Yeah, who's your tallest man? Robert Percy Wadlow. Ours is Percy Robbie Wadlow. 8'11". This one, he was 16 foot. Yeah, no, 17 foot.
I don't believe it. I don't 100% believe that fact, because then the only way that that information could have come out is via North Korea's information.
Well, I mean,
and then notoriously
might be true. No, for exaggerating. But we don't know.
Okay, Sweden is the country with the most islands.
That's not Belgium, isn't it? The Stockholm and all that is. Yeah.
Is it really? You'd think it'd be Indonesia or Micronesia or one of those, wouldn't you? Very good. Leslie says, when the Cleveland Bridge Company in Middlesbrough built the Wembley Arch, workers stuffed Middlesbrough football shirts inside the metal construction so that they would be welded inside and Borough would forever be at Wembley.
Did it work?
Well, no, I don't think they've been there since, to be fair.
Other than the shirts? Were Borough at Wembley.
But this is always a thing that I remember when they were building what became the Etihad, the City of Manchester Stadium.
And Eastland, talk about City going there. Called then, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was talk then of, a builder's put a Man United shirt
You'd have to have a crew of complete United fans, wouldn't you, for that to work? You know what I mean? Not just like
sounds slightly apocryphal, that one, but maybe if it, I mean, the Cleveland Bridge Company in Middlesbrough makes sense, I guess. Yeah. James tells us magnolias are pollinated by beetles, not bees.
Ooh, that's a good fact, isn't it?
A bit different. That's a nice fact. We've got a magnolia tree in our front garden. They are. Have you ever tried to buy one?
No.
Ridiculous. This one cost about 400 quid. Stupid. Oh, no. And it only flowers for about an hour and a half.
Well, you need to get some more beetles on it. That's what you need to do.
I need to get the beetles going. That's what you're right there. And Robin tells us Gaelic has one of the shortest alphabets in the world, only 18 letters.
Ooh, look at that.
I tell you what. Strong week. Some good ones there. 11 facts on their way. Dallas told us that Amazon only takes less than a minute to make $1 million in sales. There's a fish in South Asia that can climb a tree, according to Lee. All labels on fruits are edible, according to Julie. Andy told us that sloth can hold its breath longer than dolphins. Johan Cruyff wore a different shirt to other outfield players in the squad in 1974, according to Gary. Dan, age 13, if your immune system knew you had eyes, you'd go blind. Yeah. Ed told us when the US were testing the first jet planes, they dressed them up in gorilla masks and top hats so the pilots wouldn't believe them. There's a football stadium in North Korea, twice the size as Wembley, 200,000 people. Sweden has the most islands. Middlesbrough football club shirts are ingrained in the Wembley Arch. Magnolia is populated by beetles, not bees, and Gaelic only has 18 letters. Steve, do you have a favourite?
I mean, I'm interested in the Johan Cruyff one, and because we're during the, you know, we're during the European Championships, maybe we should go on. But I want to know why my immune system would reject my eyes.
Yes, that's a good one. It's a good one. This theory is given by doctors and medical scientists. As we know, our eyes are a delicate organ. It's essential for vision. Mm-hmm.